Again, as I said, we're going to be in Matthew, the 24th chapter this morning. I meditated yesterday, and I tell you what, one of the hardest things for me in preparing for the service is not getting a message together. It's praying through to see, try and discern God's leadership. I mean, we need help in the day and time we're in. We need instruction in the day and time we're in. And everybody in here and that could be in here and that are in here combined, there's a ton of spiritual needs all over the spectrum. Amen? And what is most pressing? But I also know we live in a dangerous time spiritually. Dangerous because some of the norms that we've relied on to kind of help us go forward spiritually have been shaken. It's a dangerous time because wickedness abounds. And it is ingrained in our society in so many ways. And it seems to me, I hope it's not what the news portrays it to be, how rapid the progressive evil is. I hope it's just contained, and so I hope our general population does not reflect what I'm hearing and seeing. But to a large extent, the church has drifted right along with society. In different ways, I mean, but it has drifted right along with society. Discouragement's a real thing. Among God's people, one of the most dangerous things we face today is simply discouragement. That the battle after battle and the length of the battle and what looks like on the horizon, people just get discouraged with it and give up. Disillusionment is creeping in, and that means people are losing their vision of what things ought to be and the ability of God and God's work to change things to be what they ought to be. Now, this is not the first time this has happened, and probably not even the worst time. But nonetheless, it is a really dangerous time spiritually. In my daily prayers for ones in the congregation, that extends out to your families and to ones that should be here, I have some real fears for some in and associated with our congregation spiritually. We've experienced a time of prosperity, the last 50 years at least, that's left us vulnerable to lean times. And by that I mean, because of prosperity, we are far more worldly focused than previous generations. Worldly focused, I mean, focused on having and obtaining things, focused on finding pleasure in this life, seeking out pleasure, focus on status. You know, I won't even go there, but with social media, that has played such a big hand, and people do stuff just to be seen. I mean, it baffles me. I'm not built that way. But we're far more worldly minded than previous generations. We're more bound to this world. This earth has been better to us than it was to many generations that preceded us. Amen? Because of that, I think we need our thinking prepared and our commitment strengthened. I chose Matthew 24 and 13 as the text this morning. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Another translation renders verse 12 and 13, and because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold, but the one that endures to the end will be saved. I wanted to focus this morning. I encourage you a lot, but I also want to warn you this morning too. We need our minds prepared for what a real Christian life looks like. And a real Christian life doesn't mean that everything goes our way all the time. A real Christian life doesn't mean that in this life, goodness, fairness, and justice will always be done. Amen? We live in a sin-cursed world. We live in a mixed society. We suffer the results of people that choose to sin. Amen? That's the nature of sin. It injures innocent parties. Right? There are things to be endured in the Christian life. To endure means to bear with patience, without breaking, without yielding, to continue in the same state, to abide and to remain. It means to stay steady, continue your course through life, continue the path of life, continue to do what's right, even though there's opposition, even though there's suffering, even though there's adverse conditions. We are to endure, to bear with patience, without breaking or yielding, to remain on the same course, and remain with our same commitment. There are things that we must live through and remain faithful through in this Christian life. Right. Every time I see a battle on the horizon, I pray God spare me of it. I do. I pray that every time. Take me around this thing. Remove it from me. But there's times you have to go through the storm. You have to walk through the battle, right? God doesn't remove all of them. And we're called on to endure, to remain faithful, to bear the difficulty with patience, without yielding or breaking, to stay steady. As our world shifts in its view of Christianity, and believe me, in my adult lifetime, the view of Christianity has radically changed in the general public. From a once time that it was exalted, it no longer is. Opposition, listen to me, here's the first point I want you to hear. Opposition from the world, and by the world I mean society around us. Opposition from society around us should be expected in this Christian life. Amen? This is something new for us. It really is. It's not new for Christians. It's something new for us. We've lived in an exceptional time. An exceptional time in history. It's a time where being a God-fearing, righteous person was honored. If you know history, you know that is not the norm in our world. This hasn't been the norm in history. And it seems to me that it's rapidly changing. That it's more and more people are open in their disdain and scorn for Christianity and scorn for doing right rather than seeing it as a good thing. And honorable thing. Matthew 13:13 says, "You'll be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end shall be saved." First thing we need to endure being out of step with society. That's a hard thing, especially if those of you that are engaged in social media, those of you that feel the pressure, that I know there's a generation that tremendously feels that peer pressure. And for those, you have to endure being out of step with society, being ridiculed, maybe even being discriminated against or abused. Amen? That's been the norm through history, folks. This is not, we've been the exception. We may suffer for our stand for right and wrong. Amen? 1 Peter 2:9 says, "This is thankworthy. If a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully." Hey, there's times we suffer wrongfully because of our conscience towards God. What our conscience dictates we ought to allow or not allow, we can suffer for. Amen? We don't always get what is fair and right in this time world. Amen. Now, there's coming a day when God's going to level everything to just fair and right. Amen? Ain't nobody getting away with nothing long term. But some of them getting away with stuff short term. Amen? And that bothers us. But you don't always get what's right and fair. Especially in a time when evil abounds. Here's the call. Do what is right anyway. Endure the repercussions. Right. Amen? Do what is right. Stand for what is right anyhow. And endure the repercussions. Endure. Amen? Daniel 3:16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this manner. If so be our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we'll not serve thy gods or worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Hey, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in a hostile environment. They've been carried away out of their home country into a foreign land, which was largely, I mean, that's why they got, if it wasn't hostile, they wouldn't have got conquered and driven away, right? It was, they're in a to do this on the threat of death. And you notice what they said? We're not careful to answer you. If you're going to throw us in the furnace, you're going to throw us in the furnace. But we're still going to serve God. Let that be known. This is not a hard thing. We're going to continue to serve God. And they didn't know. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had no advance notice that they was going to be spared from the fire furnace. Amen? For all they knew, they were headed to death in moments. Right? Hey, settle this in your heart and mind. Settle it. And I mean settle it. No matter what, I'm going to please God.
Amen.
No matter what, I'm, even to death, no matter what, I'm going to please God. Dig down, get some roots. Amen? We got a ton of shallow Christians that if the washing machine breaks, they want to give up on God. Come on. Now, you think I'm joking? I'm telling you the truth. Our commitment to God has to be deep enough to withstand opposition. Mark 4:16, and these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulations or persecutions arise on account of the word, immediately they fall away. Settle it. Get firmly planted. Commit yourself to God. That not that I'm going to try this thing, not that I'm going to, so many people, we were studying in Sunday school this morning, so many people follow God for what they can get. Amen? That ain't the reason we're following God. We have a commitment to Him because He loves us, He died to save us, and we are committed to do His will because of His giving His life for us. Amen? Not only are there times we have to endure hardship just by being a Christian, there's times when we must endure hardship and difficulty to advance the kingdom of God. That's still our calling. Amen? Our calling was what? Go ye into all the world and make disciples, right? That's still the Great Commission. Our job, once we have experienced salvation, once we know the thrill of knowing God, what's in our heart is we want to tell other people, right? We want them to experience this joy. We want them to experience the same thing. That's also our obligation. Paul said he's a debtor to the Greek and to the Gentile because of what he'd received. Hey, if you remember the lepers that were outside the camp when God scared off the army that had encamped and brought such miserable conditions, they got there and they were enjoying it. And they said, hey, this ain't right. We got to go back to the city and tell the folks what's going on. And that ought to be what's in our heart. Amen? We want to tell people. We want them to enjoy. We want them to know. Not just to try and condemn them. Not just to try and make them look like us. But to have them experience the joy of knowing God for themselves. Well, there's times when you're going to have to endure hardship and difficulty to advance the kingdom of God. Advancing the kingdom of God also means the kingdom of God is where the will of God is done. And what's needed in our country is the will of God. Really, what's going wrong if people would simply turn to God? Every problem we have can be solved. Racial relationships, economic relationships, everything could be resolved if people would simply do what God asked them to do. Amen? Not just get religious. Do what God wants them to do. Live the way God wants them to live. Come into the kingdom of God. Be under the rule of God. Amen? Amen? Nothing more important today than seeing the kingdom of God advance. In our country, there is nothing more important than seeing the kingdom of God advance. Amen. 2 Timothy 4:5, but watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Those not willing to suffer with Christ are not worthy of Him. Matthew 10:38, he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Working for God often leads us down a difficult road. Amen? If you know history, you know working for God is frequently a difficult path to walk in life. 2 Timothy 2:10, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul was saying he endured everything he had to endure so that they could obtain the salvation in Christ Jesus. We ought to be willing to suffer, to endure hardships in order to see others make heaven their home. Amen? Do we really love others of ourselves as ourselves if we're not willing to suffer to see them make heaven their home? Read the stories of the early saints. We oftentimes hearken back and think of the early church as a great time of spiritual victory and all that was going on. Well, I tell you what, one of the things that's going on, a lot of them getting killed. Yeah. One of the things getting along, there was a lot of martyrs if you read history back then. They endured. They were driven out of society. They were driven underground into the catacombs. Not even living up in the sunlight, normal sunlight, but in the caves, in the burial places. Amen? They endured and they carried the gospel and turned the world upside down. But they endured. Read the stories of the reformers. Tell you what, many of those gave their lives for the truth we now enjoy. Most of them gave their freedoms for the truth we now enjoy. The fact that you have God's word so readily available to you cost the early translators their lives. They were killed for bringing this into the English language, yes, into the common language. Amen? Yes. If you don't know that, you ought to go read. It'll help you know and value what you've been given. Amen? These things didn't come easy. They haven't been available to God's people forever. These are things we enjoy because of the sacrifices, the enduring of saints that went before us. Amen? Read about the missionaries. Many risked their lives and endured hardships to bring the light of God's word to people they didn't even know. Countries they'd never been. Languages they didn't know. Gave up their whole life to go there to try and plant the seed and minister. Many lost their lives. Yeah. Amen? Come on, folks. The advancement of the kingdom of God is not without difficulty. It isn't just we come in and we sing and we preach and the whole world's going to flock in. Amen? There's some enduring. There's some living to be done. Expect to endure. Be willing to endure hardship to advance the kingdom of God. Do we care enough to endure hardships to advance the kingdom of God? Early apostles turned the world upside down, but not without difficulty. Early on in their ministry, Acts 5, verse 28 and 29, they brought them, set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, "Did not we straitly command you, you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intent to bring this man's blood on us." And Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Verse 40, after Peter rebuked them, And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council. Listen, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Now these guys were brought in before the authorities, commanded they shouldn't preach anymore. He said, "You fill the whole city with this talk of Jesus, and you're trying to bring the guilt of his blood on us," which they were guilty of. And the apostles said, "Hey, we ought to obey God rather than men." And then Peter makes his defense. One of the council said, "Hey, if this is of God, we better not oppose it. If it's not of God, it'll come to naught." So they agreed to that. They brought him in, and they beat him. Now, this wasn't like spanking your kids. You ever seen the news where somebody's been flogged or beaten with a rod in some of these Islam countries? Well, that's what they did. And when they left, what'd they do? They left rejoicing that they were kind of worthy to suffer with Jesus Christ. And they went about the temple daily and the houses preaching Jesus Christ. Amen? Yep. We wonder oftentimes why we don't have the effect that some in past generations or the early morning church or others have had? Well, a lot of it has to do with our level of commitment and our willingness to endure.
Amen.
Your faithfulness in enduring is a great witness and encouragement to other Christians. 2 Thessalonians 1:4, so that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, said, hey, we rejoice with you that you're enduring and progressing through the persecutions and sufferings that you have to have. It was an encouragement to them. Amen? Your faithfulness, your endurance encourages others to stand. Sometimes all it needs is one or two people to stand up, to be willing to not be moved, to encourage others to step out with them. Amen? Exodus 32:26, and Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who's on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together with him. Hey, we ought to live in such a way that it's obvious we're on the Lord's side. Be willing to stand to endure if necessary. As Christians, we have a long tradition of enduring. Do you know that? We've had many, many examples before us. We're in a long lineage of ones who have been called on to endure for the sake of God and for truth. Hebrews 11th chapter relates many of the heroes of faith. Some had great victories, but not all. Some had some enduring. Hebrews 11:24, by faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he is looking forward to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Amen? Moses gave up a life of privilege. Amen? To be mistreated with his own people. And he endured because he had God in view. Amen. 36th verse of the same Hebrews 11th chapter tells of ones not who gained victory in this life, but gained the victory spiritually. Others suffered mocking and flogging, even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering around in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. Amen? There are a lot of people that have gone before us following God that have had to endure things. Much worse than what we're looking at right now. Amen? A lot of the heroes of the faith endured much more than we're being called to endure. Amen? Throughout the period of church history, most of the advances made in the kingdom of God, people have had to endure and suffer to accomplish that. And all the great revivals, they were not without opposition and persecution. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that's set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. You've not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Amen? He said, hey, you think you got it tough? First of all, think of this great cloud of witnesses that he just described in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. The ones that went before us. And we could come a little bit farther and talk about the martyrs in the first century. We could talk about the reformers, those who advanced the kingdom of God, those who broke the power of false religion and Catholicism and opened the freedom, those who brought us God's word in our own language so the common man could read and understand. Amen? Consider him, another translation renders this, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted in your struggle against sin, which you've not yet resisted the point of shedding your blood. Don't lose sight of those who have gone before us. Don't lose sight of God's faithfulness either. When we're called to endure, God is no less faithful than He is in times of prosperity. Amen?
Yes.
God doesn't love us any less. God's no less faithful. He's no less kind-hearted. Amen? God's still working to bring you home to heaven and as many others as He can. God's still active in this. Don't lose sight of God's faithfulness and things we're called on to endure. God's fully aware of the things we're going through and the things we endure. Amen? Fully aware. He's still loving, merciful, kind. He's still compassionate. He cares deeply about what you're going through. He cares deeply when you suffer. He cares about those things. And if it wasn't for the best for you and for the kingdom of God, He'd relieve you of it. So when you walk through and you're called to suffer, when you're called to endure, bear in mind that the all-knowing God who has perfect knowledge of all things, who loves you enough to die for you, has seen fit that this is the best path. Given everything He knows, this is the best path to be traveled. Amen?
Amen.
James 5:11 said, "Behold, we count them happy which endure." You've heard of the patience of Job. You've seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord's very pitiful and of tender mercy. What's he mean there? Job endured the loss of everything he could endure except the loss of his life, right? Endured shame because all of his friends figured he must be the worst kind of sinner, for God to have brought this kind of destitution on him. I mean, they did. When they showed up, that's all they did was tell him how bad a sinner he must be. Say, come clean, Job, tell us the truth. You know, you obviously, something wrong here. What was wrong with Job? What was wrong with Job is he's God's best example on the face of the earth. God said to Satan, "You seen my servant Job? There ain't nobody like him." And Satan said, "Well, you put a hedge of protection around him. Why wouldn't he serve you?" And God said, "Okay, take it. Everything's in your hand except his life." Satan gave him boils from the top of the head to the soles of his feet. Now, God allowed Satan to afflict Job. If there was something more painful than that, Satan would have seen to it. Whatever he sent him was the most painful thing Satan could think of. He's suffering physically. His wife said, "Curse God and die." All of his friends said, "You're a sinner. Man, why won't you be honest about this thing?" Amen? And all of his wealth was gone. All of his kids died. All of them. Whom he got up and sacrificed and prayed for every day. That lasted somewhere between 6 and 12 months out of Job's life. So up to that point, Job had been one of the most blessed people on the face of the earth. Had a trial of 6 months. An intense trial. More than we can imagine. What was the end of the story? Job got twice as much as he started out with. Amen? Amen? Twice as much. And God not only gave him twice as much, he gave and restored his sons and daughters to him. And then gave him a long enough life to enjoy down to the fourth generation of his new family. And I tell you what, we get up to heaven, God ain't going to owe none of us anything. Amen? You may endure for a season. You may have to sacrifice. You may go through difficulty. But I tell you what, God is gracious, generous, kind-hearted. Job suffered greatly, but the reward of God far outweighed his suffering. Mark 10:29, Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, There is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake, and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold, now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands, with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. God ain't going to owe none of us anything. Amen? God is gracious, kind, and good. I don't know what's necessary to see our land and country revived. I don't know what's necessary to see them turn to God. It may take a period of suffering for that to happen. And if so be it, we ought to continue to trust a good, loving God through that, be committed to endure whatever it is to endure. They don't go looking to be a martyr, but walk the path that God sets before you to be pleasing to Him. Amen? Keep the faith in spite of suffering. Stay spiritually prepared. This is a battle you will not win if you're not spiritually prepared. We spent a bunch of time talking about faith in God, confidence in God, keeping your prayer life active, keeping your relationship with God good. I'm going to guarantee you something. When hardships really come, you will not endure unless your relationship is real. Jude 1 and 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Keep yourself in the love of God, building yourself up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep your relationship real. This is not a time to go back. This is not a time to focus on the trouble in this life. This is a time to make sure that you are vibrant in your relationship with God. Not a time to coast. Not a time to get discouraged. Not a time to get disillusioned. It's a time to commit ourselves. If we have to endure, dig in. Get some roots. Commit yourself to enduring and doing whatever it takes to please God in this life. Help others make heaven their home and make heaven your home yourself. Amen? Praying diligently, daily. Amen? Living in the presence of the Holy Spirit throughout your day. Because you're going to need His strength. You're going to need His encouragement. Amen? And do what you can to help your brother and sister. And your brother and sister should be there to help you too. Amen? But if they're not, initially do what you know to do anyhow. Because somebody has to start this thing. Amen? Don't wait for your brothers and sisters to encourage you before you decide to encourage them. Be a starter. Be one that does what God have you to do, irregardless of whether anybody else does what God have you to do. Amen? We need each other. In the early morning church, they were forbidden. Churches were outlawed. People were killed for just simply assembling together. What'd they do? They risked their life to assemble together. Amen? That tells me it has some value. Take advantage of it. Amen. Take advantage of it. I want to encourage you this morning. Let's be what God would have us to be. Let's be real. I don't know what the future holds. Things can change overnight for better or for worse. That's my prayer. My prayer is always, if I see enduring or suffering ahead, my prayer is always, God, get me out of this thing. Take me around this. I don't want to do this. Amen. Nothing wrong with that. But on the other hand, if it becomes evident it's God's will for us to walk through this, let's be committed enough to God to say we're going to walk through, we're going to be an example of what God can do with a person, no matter what the conditions are around them. We have a long family heritage in the family of God, going back, people willing to endure, people willing to suffer, to help others make the kingdom of God their home. Amen? To advance the kingdom of God, and to make heaven their home. Let's continue faithful. Amen? God's faithful, but His faithfulness does not ensure that we won't have a tough patch to go through. Amen? Prepare your mind. Jesus Himself was constantly abused in His ministry. They were always out to get Him. They were slandering Him. They always tried to catch Him in a trap. And eventually, they killed Him. He said, you've not yet resisted unto blood, in your suffering. And that's true of all of us. Amen? Let's deepen our commitment, purpose to be true, continue faithful to God. There is not a more critical time in your life than right now to be faithful to God for the sake of those in your family and for the sake of those around you. Let's be found faithful. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed in a verse of song. Heavenly Father,